Special education, just get on board.
Welcome to another edition of the Brain Injury Radio Network.
Sponsored by the TBI, Survivors Network at tbiss.com.
All survivors, all the time. For automatic updates and everything brain injury.
Join now at tbiss.com.
The only all survivor and family network in the world.
You don't need no fancy certification, just get on board.
Listen every night at 7 p.m. Pacific, 10 p.m. Eastern.
And select nights at 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Eastern.
Almost 60 shows monthly, bringing you unique perspectives and journeys of real lives affected by brain injury.
Sharing their successes and failures, giving you new tools and strategies coping with the effects of brain injury.
And now it is time for another edition of the Brain Injury Radio Network.
Found at braininjuryradio.com.
And now it's time for another live episode on the Brain Injury Radio Network.
Oh, endus abruptus of our new intro. This is Kim Justice, your regular Wednesday night host from the show Recovery Now on Brain Injury Radio for yet another special edition of a laid-back Saturday night. I had typed something in before for you folks in the chat, and just ignore it because I haven't played it yet, but it's long, and so I typed it in ahead of time. But in any case, welcome everybody tonight. I was going to play you a song, and I typed out something, and then we'll come back and talk about springing ahead. Tonight at 2 a.m. is when you change your clocks, so a friendly reminder. And one of my residuals, I think since I was born really, is that it's never made sense to me that spring ahead and fall back. I look at it's like, what do you call that when you transpose letters or numbers when you're typing them? Spring ahead, ahead means to me like in front of. And so I would be making it earlier. But in fact, as I typed in the show notes, you'll all be an hour later. So, well, all of you that this applies to. I realize that Arizona and some parts of Indiana don't do daylight savings time, but the rest of us, the bad news is we'll lose an hour of sleep. The good news is that it's going to be lighter longer and we're a little closer to spring. So spring ahead means adding an hour, and you'll all be an hour later. So it wouldn't even do you any harm, for those of you this applies to do some of your, if you got a watch on, do it now. Because we have a tendency to forget, and then come Monday, we'll be late to things. And so certainly now, during the show, or right when the show's over, maybe use that as a little cue, since most of us, I wonder why they ever did that at 2 o'clock in the morning anyway. Like everyone's up at 2 in the morning to magically change their clocks. No, not usually. So anyway, change those clocks and they'll be correct when you get up tomorrow, and you'll be on time. I'm going to play you a quick song, and then we're going to come back and talk about not only springing ahead with our clocks, but springing ahead in our lives after a brain injury. The other night I introduced a new artist in my playlist, and that's what I was typing in the chat room. You can find Honey Boy Turner on Reverb Nation. So if you go to www.reverbnation.com, that's R-E-V as in Victor, E-R-B as in boy, N-A-T-I-O-N.com, /Honey Boy Turner, T-U-R-N-E-R. Or if you happen to be on Facebook, Honey Boy is one word, H-O-N-E-Y-B-O-Y, Turner, second word, T-U-R-N-E-R. So you will be on Facebook.com/Honey Boy Turner. And you guys seem to like, I have a couple of his songs, but I think I'm going to play just because I'm somewhere here in Middle America doing this show tonight. I think I'm going to play the song that I played the other night. Probably a different audience in this one. But again, a new artist on my playlist. I'm very happy to have Honey Boy Turner singing Blues for, you guessed it, Blues for Omaha.
Yeah,
That's Honey Boy Turner with Blues for Omaha. And just in case you didn't guess where I was from here in Middle America, you don't want that. Forget about that. Just forget I said that. Partridge, Jeremy Partridge, does parody films on YouTube. And one of the films that he did on YouTube, if you are on YouTube out there, and it is meant to be a parody, it's not a proud moment in video footage of the city, but a funny moment. If you look up Omaha Rap, just search Omaha Rap on YouTube, you'll find this song in its entirety, which I'm not going to play. I'm only going to play 55 seconds, and then we're going to come back and talk. Rap on. Okay, that's White Mike and the Boys in Jeremy Partridge's film, Omaha Rap. A little portion of that I took out. So tonight's show is Spring Ahead with your clock and your life, particularly after brain injury. First, I wanted to take care of a little housekeeping, and while I see Jenny is out in the audience, there's some pictures that flip through the program notes these days, kind of like a slideshow. And except for the pictures that represent our show, like the show pages and so forth, the pictures, most of the pictures, if they're not of me, were taken by me. And, of course, I've got a picture of Winter on there, and that shot happens to be at Boys Town. And then I have a picture, and maybe we'll talk about it sooner than later, but Jenny, it's the birdhouses, the birdie condo community that I made around a bird bath, so you can see the reflections. And one of the things that I did one year is I became obsessed. I'm a little obsessive compulsive in my behavior sometimes, and impulsive, and I'm sure none of you can relate to that at all. But I was in like a Hobby Lobby kind of store, and I found some unpainted birdhouses, and they were like 99 cents. Jenny has heard this story before, but for those of you who have, you're going to hear it again. And for those of you that haven't, it'll be something new. And for those of you that have heard the story or not heard the story and do have access to the program notes, you'll get to look at them, because we didn't used to be able to post as many pictures as we can now in the program notes, so I went ahead and put it up. One of the things you'll see scroll by. In any case, these unpainted birdhouses were 99 cents, and like a crazy woman, I filled my basket with those birdhouses, and I think, oh, I probably had 20 of them in the beginning. And I had what I call the summer of the birdhouse. And I bought a bunch of paints and paintbrushes. And I sat there, and also then, you know, I had to get all fancy, schmancy and stuff. So I bought stickers and, oh, little bling things that you can glue on, little, I call them diamonds, but obviously they're not really diamonds. and really could deck these things, really wanted to deck these babies out. So I spent the summer painting these birdhouses, and why would you do such a thing? Well, I was in what I call a tweener stage. And I've had more than one tweener stage in my life. I think most of us have. We get a tweener stage probably somewhere in our teenage years when we're trying to get autonomy as individuals, trying to break free from the nest. But on the other hand, we have one hand in the nest or one foot in the nest because we're used to the security inherent there. Whether it really is secure or not, we perceive that it is. So that's a tweener stage that's uncomfortable when change comes about. Relationships, you know, relationships, whether it's marriage, boyfriend, girlfriend, best friends, whatever it is, when those relationships end for whatever reason, we're in a tweener stage because we're no longer doing what we did before, and we don't know what the future holds. And so there's that fear and that anxiety sometimes, that resistance to change that comes with being a tweener. And that also happens after a brain injury. And again, everything I say is the opinion of the host. It may or may not be shared by you. And if it's not, feel free to call in and let me know about it, and I might let you talk. And if you can relate, feel free. In any case, I was in a tweener stage. But wait, let me go back and finish that thought I had before I interrupted myself. So brain injury, old me, old life, how I used to function, what I was used to doing. And now I've had this brain injury and I try to resume life as normal and it doesn't flow the way it did before. I find out things a little bit at a time. And for me, the reason why it was a little bit at a time, and I know the oldies get sick of hearing me saying it, but for anybody who's new out there, if you're in this position, I only share this because I want you to know that you have choices I didn't have or didn't know I had back then, but I went 17 years without ever having met another brain injury survivor and didn't have aftercare and didn't have a support group. And so I was processing slower, not really knowing what was going on. So I spent a lot more time in denial than a lot of you have because you were provided some truths early on in the therapies that you took. Now, you still might have not gotten the magnitude of what that was going to mean for the long run, but you maybe had just a little bit more clue than I did. And so I was a slow learner about my new slow learning because I had always been a quick learner, and things stuck in my mind, and you know, I could blow through books, and was on dean's list in college, and got my securities license, and most things came to me pretty quick. And so after my brain injury, the first time, you know, I was trying to read books and things, and I couldn't focus, and I couldn't remember what I was reading. It really took me by surprise and gave me panic because, my gosh, that wasn't me. Who was that girl? And then I'd find that I would get really upset a lot quicker and easier than I used to. No, I heard from the audience, and anyone else can let me know that some of you are hearing choppy sound on their end. I'm not hearing anything choppy here, but do feel free to call in and let me know if that's the case, because I'll just talk less and play more music and see if that's choppy. I know that there's been some problems the last couple days. Mike was going to do his second show yesterday in the early platform, and the sound was so bad that unfortunately he didn't get the opportunity, and so that show didn't fire at all because the sound was so bad. So if it gets too painful for you guys to listen, at least you'll know that I showed up to fill the slot or color in the slot, because I'm just sitting in a chair not moving, so it's I'm not doing anything different than I ever do here. So we'll just keep going a little bit, and I'll play some more music, and just let me know if the choppy gets better or worse. Now I forgot where I was. Let's see. So anyway, these tweener stages are uncomfortable, and we feel around in the dark, kind of like when your power goes out, and you kind of know the terrain. You do know the terrain, but you know the terrain with the lights on, and so you start feeling around in the dark, and you stub a toe here and there, maybe break a nail, hopefully not crack your bean on the door frame, but all kinds of things can happen when you're feeling around in the dark to try to find your way. And that's kind of how it was for me in my earlier days after my brain injury. And I would, I covered the reading, I guess, and then I was at the emotions, you know, the emotion regulation issues, which I still have problems with. When I get full basket syndrome and there's too many things coming at me, and particularly if I don't understand them, I have the frustration of not learning quickly, and it makes me less patient, more prone to be angry, and more prone to be tearful. And I hated that. I've always been what I considered and have been accused of being a strong woman. Now, some people have a more derogatory way to put that, but I'm going to look at it in a positive frame, a strong woman. And suddenly I didn't feel strong anymore. I felt weak and less than and a little worthless in my pursuits, because a lot of things I was trying to do and that I could do before, I couldn't do anymore, or I couldn't do them as well as I did before. And I had a level of perfection before my brain injury, and I wanted to be able to do things that way, you know, which was never really perfection, but it was, in my mind, the best I could do. And so, phew, boy, lots of frustration. Lots of frustration and growing pains in that tweener stage, because I didn't know what was going on. I didn't know at that time that it was an organic problem that was as a result of a ruptured brain aneurysm that was misdiagnosed and allowed to bleed throughout my brain for over 24 hours. And then a craniotomy, which cuts through the cranial sacral, cuts through the nerve, cuts through your skull, and somebody dances with tiny instruments inside your brain matter, and they use a little machine that with air in it that blows parts of your brain out of the way so they can access the part they need to work on. And then that little part comes back down, but somewhere in the surgery when they clipped it and it looked like it was safe and they were going to come out, the balloon sprung another leak and blood started squirting through my brain. So then they fix that, clip it off, and the flap comes back down, and they take the piece of skull that they cut out. And I don't know if they crazy glue that or how they get that back in where it's supposed to go, but you're left with a dent, kind of a divot up in your forehead, at least in my case. I know you all have divots in different places, but there. And then they flip your face back up, which after they've cut it like with a can opener and a big C from your forehead down to about the middle of your ear or lower. They flap your face down to access your skull. Then they flap your face back up, staple it back around, and you look like you've had a fight with a Mack truck. And big black eyes and a head. You know, we accuse people of having a big head when they have a big ego. And, you know, my head was so big. How big was it? For those of you old enough to remember whatever comedian that was, it was so big that I couldn't get my glasses on my face. And they wouldn't let me. I couldn't wear contacts at that time. They didn't want me putting contacts in because I was kind of in and out of consciousness after I got home and was recovering. And so when I would try to watch TV or read or do something, you know, to try to get some normalcy and to not focus on the intense pain I was in and the fear I was in, because it came in a flash out of the blue. Healthy 35-year-old, stronger physically and mentally and emotionally than I had ever been at the height of my career. Things were flying good as it gets for me at that time. And then whoosh, the rug pulled out from underneath. Shocking turf. And I had just been modeling, in fact. I had been in a movie. Only a few, some of you know that I've written a book, and my book cover, every now and then I put it out there. I don't think I did tonight, but there's a girl in a black silhouette sitting on steps with her chin on her hand looking up at the sky. And that was actually a promo shot that was taken of me when I was 35. There's been two different times in my life when I've modeled and been in acting, and I kind of got to thinking about this again after my guest last Wednesday. I encourage you to check out the show Vital Warrior. I think that would have been like around the first or so. Anyway, last Wednesday, I did my regular Recovery Now show with Mikel Vega, who, after being a SEAL for 22 years, and catch all of these letters. His Humvee hit an IED, giving him a TBI and PTSD. I didn't want to say that three times really fast, but I think I got it accurate. When he came out of the SEALs, and he's funding a nonprofit organization, and one of the things he's doing to fund it is embracing his love of acting. And a lot of you saw me post that he had been in the movie G.I. Joe in a miniseries found on YouTube called Black for Black Ops, and in Transformers 3, and this summer going to be in Transformers 4. Do you hear those sirens? They're coming to take me away, ha-ha. With Mark, what's his name? Real cute. Mark got a brother. Mark, well, it'll come to me. Anyway, Transformer fans, think of that guy's name. It's on the tip of my brain. The sirens, something shiny. There she goes. Ah, train of thought. This is like scattered like a ping pong ball. I think my chief and rock star is rubbing off on me. Heaven forbid. Okay, try to stay on one train of thought, Kim. and she talks to herself, too. You know, I don't even really know where I was, except that it's hard in between. When you're letting go of the old me or your old way of looking at things or living through things, you suddenly find out you can't do that anymore for a variety of possible different reasons. In our case, because it's Brain Injury Radio, we'll say because of a brain injury. Then things happen, and we need to spring forward, because what happens is, if like our clocks tonight, if we don't get those clocks in the places where it applies, if we don't get those clocks corrected tonight, we're going to be out of step we're going to be not on time, and we're going to screw up a lot of things in our life, our appointments that are scheduled, anything that has to do with the time and when we're supposed to be there, important commitments, our responsibilities, our desires. You know, Monday morning can be a real cluster after these daylight savings times, even in the ordinary community, but in the brain injury community in particular, Monday can be a living H-E double hockey picks. What's that saying? Because we don't know what time it is. We don't know which ends up or if we're on foot or horseback. And then if you're like me, you don't remember whether to set the clock an hour later or an hour earlier because you've always had problems with that jump ahead, swing around your partner, roll me over in the clover old saying about time. And so we need to get our clocks right, but not only our physical clocks, our tangible clocks, like an alarm clock, but also our, and I don't mean biological clock in the way of like some of you think, but our biological clock after a brain injury. And if we don't spring ahead, then what are our choices? Well, our choice would be to go backwards, or our choice would be to be lockstepped. Okay, I think I just heard who the cop was chasing. Phew, gotta watch it. Hopefully you guys aren't hearing all this traffic noise. I'm here, and I don't know what's going on. I think the cops are chasing somebody driving like 190 miles an hour who now has no brakes because he was squealing them so bad. Anyway, there aren't a lot of choices in this game. It is not, no pun intended, brain surgery, rocket science. You're going to move forward, you're going to go backwards, or you're going to stand still. And if you go backwards, you're going to be unhappy and miserable. If you stand still, you're not going to realize the joy in growth and adventure and the part of the change that can be positive. You're going to be stuck in the old part of the change, which is miserable, and send some people to their grave. They get through their brain injury with God's grace, only to wind up dying at their own hand because they can't come to accept that they need to spring forward, even if they don't feel like it. I remember when I went home and I fought to get home. I lied. I said I was better, felt like a million bucks, ready to go home. I needed to escape where I was at. And so I managed to talk my way into getting home. And like nobody knows except you and the world right now. And luckily this isn't on my night, so anyway, not going to show up in people specifically looking for my programs, but there was some time where I was crawling through my house and kind of bouncing off the walls in my house, and I wasn't being supervised. I was alone. I was blessed that I had a good group of friends, and they would do things like, bring me groceries or bring me my food or whatever, but they had no idea that I was faking it when they came, that I might have just crawled to the door and crawled my way up the door to open it and put a smile on my face like I was doing just fine. And that went on a lot. And the bad dreams went on a lot. I lived alone at the time, and I'd go home and wake up screaming and sweating with tears running down my face about that scary surgery and about what could have happened and about how my life could change and about it happening again and about the fear of change and the, oh my God, what am I going to do now? I'm not ready to accept these truths myself. The surgeon is telling me at this point, nah, time heals everything. You'll be fine. And so I was praying for that time to come. But in the meantime, it was some pretty tough going. And that tweener stage was hard. And I didn't even write about that. You know, I didn't even write about that book in my book, and I didn't talk about it until recently. And I guess it's because I've spent almost a couple years now around some more survivors and have some challenges going on right now because of the silent epidemic that, you know, I might not be believed. And so I might as well put my cards out on the table and be honest, you know, about what it's like. You know, it isn't any stroll in the park when your brain explodes and you go through the process that you went through. It's difficult. Now, it might not be as apparent and obvious as somebody who is in a wheelchair, God bless them, who's had a spinal injury, or somebody with cerebral palsy, or somebody who's got an obvious challenge. But it's just as valid. Only the thing that makes it, and I don't want to say a little worse, there is no comparison, but a little worse in one aspect, if you just track with me for a minute, is that nobody's doubting somebody in a wheelchair. Nobody's accusing them of lying. Nobody's challenging them. And everybody is, well, decent people are trying to be helpful, empathetic, and compassionate for people in that state. But when you've got the invisible epidemic, you're crazy, or you're faking, or you're just going to grow out of it and get better. And the minute you look normal, everybody assumes you are and you want to be, and then you find out you're not, and then the journey begins. You thought the journey started with the brain injury. The journey starts when you come to a level of acceptance. And so one of the first things I want to read tonight before I play you a song is something on acceptance. And I live by this thing, and I heard it 26 years ago, and I have read it just about every day since then, and there's a reason. It's because before my brain injury, I thought that if I ran fast enough, jumped high enough, did enough cartwheels, manipulated well enough, that I had the power to change the world. And again, that was the naivety of youth and at its peak, performance and ego. And what I learned when my brain injury happened is that all we ever have is the illusion of control. We never really have control. And that we react instead of respond, meaning it goes straight from the brain out the mouth instead of the filter where we can respond. And I bring this up because the other day I'm feeling really badly. You know, I've done a pretty good job. It's been almost a couple decades, and I've taken a lot of life skills class and been in a lot of recovery, even though they haven't been brain injury support groups. But my behavior has changed a 180. But I'm still a human being. I'm still Italian and Irish. I still got a brain injury. And I'm still a human being. And I was with family the other day, and family is often, you often have someone in your family who can push your buttons. And doing pretty good for a while with calm answer. Well, have you considered? Well, have you thought of? And I was doing the deal that we're taught in all the books, you know, deflect, distract, move on. You know, I can tell you all those terms that we learn, but it takes a lot of practice to have those imprinted in our behavior. We can't take a 6-week class or a 12-week class and unring the bell on 20, 30, 40, 50 years of behavior. And a lot of behavior that we say is from our brain injury is really behavior that was in us before we ever had the brain injury. But the brain injury was like pouring gas on the fire, and it just sent all those character defects that we had before into overdrive. Some of them are brand new, but some of them truly we were born with. It was part of our character. And I exchanged words in a place I would never want to do that in front of my 93-year-old grandma that you guys have heard me talk about. And you know who I was angry at? It wasn't my uncle who started the engagement. It was me for coming to his level. You roll down with dogs, you're going to get fleas. What I needed to do was take a breath, look at my watch, and say, gosh darn it, I forgot that I had an appointment in 10 minutes to pick up Sophie from getting her hair done or whatever. But I needed to make an exit, because if I couldn't keep my mouth shut, I needed to remove myself from the situation, because it's not an excuse to say that I can chalk off my bad behavior and lack of responsibility, being personally responsible, to my brain injury, or justify the fact that I'm a butt wipe because the other person in the room is a bigger butt wipe. There isn't any justification that my bad is okay because you bad. It just doesn't work that way. We can think it does, but the truth is karma, kismet, catches up. The old saying, what goes around comes around. So truly, we're capable of selling ourselves any bill of goods that we want. But just as truthfully, it's going to come back and smack us in the ass at some point, and it's going to sting. And lessons get learned hard that way. And so I'm going to give her an amend, even though she probably doesn't even remember it. But the person I felt bad about was me. And so what I was taught is that when those situations come up, you don't hold them in and stew over them until you're giving yourself migraines and acid stomach and sleep issues, which you probably already have, but crank it up. Because you're not coping properly, that, you know, you admit it to God, to yourself, and to another human being, the exact nature of your wrongs, because you're only as sick as your secrets. And so I haven't been telling everybody, but I just told you guys, and was actually in a church today and told God about it, although I will tell you I'm on the Dial Direct plan. I don't need to go in a church to have a relationship with God, but I did. And told some other human beings, and I'll make those amends. And then you got to do the other part of it. Show that you learned from that experience, because apologies mean nothing the third, fourth, fifth, sixth, 20th time when you're doing the same behavior. Because when you do the same behavior expecting different results, in some circles, that's the definition of insanity. And credibility. Because I can snap your head off right now because I got issues, and I can apologize to you. But if I do that every other time I see you, my apology means nothing. The proof of the pudding in the apology is changing the behavior and not doing that anymore. And those are a couple things I've learned about springing forward, is that I can't hold on to my rationalizations, justifications, and resentments of the past, because the toxic nature of those things will eat my lunch and leave my soul vacant and won't give me the energy for a person who already gets really fatigued to spring forward. Those are the things that are going to keep me stuck or take me backwards and put me in jeopardy. on a lot of different levels. And so one of the things that I mentioned is acceptance. And I'm going to read you something here that I look at almost every day because I need to remember it, and I need to have things around, cues around my house that remind me that help me get my perception back where it should be. Because I don't know about you, but if I get on a roll psychologically, I can roll like a snowball going downhill and get more and more and more momentum. And it's like, for those of you old enough to remember vinyl records that spin around, the needle would get stuck from time to time if there was a scratch on the record, and it would hiccup and keep playing the same thing over and over and over and over again. And I didn't want that. I didn't think I ever had to accept anything. I thought acceptance was weakness. It meant you weren't working hard enough, because if a situation was bad and you accepted it, that you were a wimp. You needed to do everything you could possibly do to change it. It didn't occur to me that maybe what I needed to change was me, and that when I change me, it changes. So this reading goes, acceptance. And acceptance is the answer to all my problems today. When I am disturbed, it is because I find some person, place, thing, or situation, some fact of my life, unacceptable to me. And I can find no serenity until I accept that person, place, thing, or situation as being exactly the way it's supposed to be at this moment. Nothing, absolutely nothing, happens in God's world by mistake. Until I could accept myself for who I am, I could not be me. Unless I accept life completely on life's terms, I cannot be happy. I need to concentrate not so much on what needs to be changed in the world as on what needs to be changed in me and in my attitudes. And a thought to consider in back of that, acceptance is not submission. It is acknowledgement of the facts of a situation, then deciding what you're going to do about it. And with that, a little break, and then I'll be back to read you something else, and then we will engage. And I think I'll play, what will I play? Eeny, meeny, miny, schmo. What goes good with that? How about, we'll do our Bad Boys from Jersey. Haven't heard Francis Jones and the Saviors lately. And one thing acceptance gives us, and I don't know if it's going to apply to this song, but I caught the word in the title as I was coming by. One thing acceptance gives us is freedom. Because, what was it? I posted something, and I don't have my Facebook page. I got a split screen. I don't have it here. But I did a quote on my In a Flash page the other day that unforgiveness means that we're locked in a jail for somebody else's crime. And when I come to accept and realize that it's about me and my attitudes, and it isn't about them and their attitude, sometimes I need to walk away. And if I am forced to react like a child, out the brain, out the mouth, without a pause to think, and I can't take the time to, instead of react, respond, which means have that thing come in my mind that's disturbed me, process it first, put some thought into it first, and then put some thought into the words before they come out my mouth, which I didn't do on Tuesday. Then I'm I'm going to be a prisoner to someone else's crime, and they're going to go about their life like they always have, and I'm going to be the one putting myself through hell and making myself sick. And it's taken me a lot of years to get that, and I have no level of perfection at it. I've just done a lot better at it, because in my world, it's all about progress, not perfection. So it's all about making an effort every day to spring forward, even if I want to spring back, even if I want to stand still. And there's days I do that. But for the big picture in my life, it's got to be set and carved in stone that I always want to spring forward and be just as carved in stone as daylight savings time is for a lot of us, about springing forward. Because if I don't spring forward and grab those lifelines that are offered to me, surely I'm going to drop the rope and lose my footing. And that's going to cost. It's going to cost me, and it's going to cost everybody in my life. And it isn't going to make us happy. It's going to make us miserable. And I believe with all my heart, God gave me the grace of my life back more than once. So that I could share some of this, but mostly so that I could find the tools to make a life worth living. God didn't save me just to be a survivor, or somebody who stands on the dime and doesn't move, or someone who continues to go backwards. And it's cool. You know, one step forward, two steps back. We all have process. I'm not trying to say that process is normal, but there's limits and healthy boundaries, too, that should be normal. And we don't all draw those real well, because we want to be people pleasers. We want to be a hero. We want to have some level of perfection to make up for what we perceive as deficits on some other part of our life. Who knows what drives us? I don't even think the shrink knows what drives us anymore, because they've been reduced to 15-minute drug dealers, so I don't know that they're thinking about it that hard. But I've thought about it kind of hard, because I've been a lifer in the recovery community. But what acceptance does for me is frees me to move forward, because it puts the power back with me and not with someone else. This is Francis Jones and the Saviors with Same Kind of Freedom.
Uno, dos, tres, cuatro.
Natural queens with the keyboard teeth, the garden-hearted soliloquy, seeking salvation through love and recovery. Standing on the moonchestation line with mademoiselles in American pastime, they all ache with the same kind of freedom. Forgotten the sweat, confused and confused, dropped on the dime, stone by two, looking at mirrors, shit in someone's linen. Oh, oh, what do they know? Oh, what do they know? On the block at the vagabond bar, the wolf pack was in on the getaway car. Light cigarette packed with veteran thoughts. The presidents, they didn't care. The innocent bride shook the rings off there. Delirious with the same kind of freedom. Got him. threat, refuse and confuse. Dropped on the dime, the stone by a few. Looking at mirrors, wishing it was someone new. Oh, oh, what do they know? Oh, oh, what do they know? Darkness weaves around the scene, doing rides on the balcony. Lord Bacon performed Shakespeare to nobody. There was skin knees under my jeans. I lost my jacket and all my money. I didn't really know why I was headed up this. Drinking up, knew I was lost. Knew somebody changed my sugar to salt. You know I was happy with the same kind of freedom. Oh, oh, what does he know? Oh, what does he know?
Hi, that was Francis Jones and the Saviors. Sorry, guys, I forgot to unmute my mic again. Hello, welcome to As the TBI Turns, and they don't believe us. Jesus, Louise. What I was saying was, thank you, Les Paul and Jenny, in the peanut gallery out there, what would I do without you? Well, I'd have a lot of dead time in my shows. That's a for sure. Francis Jones and the Saviors. I gave away what his real name was, but I did that on mute, so I won't do that now. But if you're looking for him, and he's a really good egg, likes to party, but got a heart as big as Texas, even though he's in Jersey. And you can find his music at Francis Jones, FRANCISJONES .bandcamp, one word, .com, or on Facebook at facebook.com/ Dr. Francis Jones. That's DRFRANCISJONES, Francis Jones and the Saviors. And that song was about freedom. And what I was saying, I don't know what I was saying. I was saying it was Saturday night. I don't know what I'm saying. Yeah, exactly, Jenny. What I was saying is that I have a couple quotes and readings about change and new beginnings, which is really what springing ahead is about. And, you know, I started talking about those birdhouses in the beginning and that tweener stage and that's when we're plotting where we're going to move forward. Well, you know, there were some destructive things. We all got an angel on a shoulder and a devil on our shoulder, and we might not think of that as literal, but, you know, we fight with ourselves sometimes if you're like me. You know, and there were some things that I was considering that summer of the birdhouse that were not really good options. And so I needed to distract. That's one of the tools that I've learned in recovery is action opposite emotion. So if I have an emotion that's negative, that's driving me towards going down the wrong road, then I need to do action opposite emotion, which means taking some other kind of action that's totally opposite. And painting birdhouses sitting there in my backyard, which was beautiful. The temperature was beautiful that summer, not many bugs out. And I just had my paints and enjoyed the quiet, and the dogs were happy because I was home. And I painted these birdhouses, and I tricked them out. And then I had like 20 birdhouses all painted and tricked out with stickers and bling and all this stuff, glitter paint, and I got real fancy there for a while. And so I decided what I was going to do with them is give them away. And I put them all in the lid of a box, and I had them in the back of my truck at the time, and went to my folks' house. I was going to give her one. And I looked over and saw her bird bath there, and the bird bath had a pretty thick lip on it. And so I saw a photo op. Some of you know I do photography as a hobby, and I took the houses out of the back, and I lined them up around the bird bath, and it looked like a little birdie condo community. And the sun was just right so that you could see the reflection of the houses and the kind of dirty water. But I laughed because it looked like I say, a fancy one of the, you know how they paint down like in the islands and places like that, the houses in real funky colors. You know, you'll see a bright blue, a bright yellow, a bright pink. It looks like sherbet colored houses in some parts of the country, usually around beach areas or, like I say, down in the islands. And that's kind of how these birdhouses were. And so I had a moment of fantasy as I was shooting the pictures of the birds in their new condo community, the houses in the condo community around the pool or lake, however I wanted to describe it at the time. And I was taking the pictures and then proceeded to spend what was left of the summer giving the houses away. And people really liked that, and they enjoyed it. It's like somebody walks up and hands you a birdhouse, and they're like, wow, thanks. Cough, cough. And when they realized what I had done, that I had made them, you know, myself, and I'm not artistic in that way, so they weren't by any means Picassos of the birdhouse, really kind of crude, actually. But it was the idea of giving away a piece of yourself. And that makes people happy. And I got to thinking about that today, too, when I was talking about this other deal, that we can give away. We give away pieces of ourselves all the time. We give away pieces of ourselves that are negative. We give away pieces of ourselves that are positive. We give away pieces of ourselves that we can't afford to give away because we need them to be able to function on track. But sometimes we overextend ourselves and we're kind of off the rails, and then like dominoes, things start falling apart. And so there's a lot of these things I learned in my early recovery and throughout the journey of recovery I've taken after my brain injury. And so what it means for all of us is new beginning. It's a new beginning. And we all process and act out that new beginning in different ways. And this is a reading I found earlier today. And it looked pretty cool. I think I might buy this gal's book. But it was at a website called mindbodygreen.com. And I can type that in a couple minutes. But it's www, this is all one word, lowercase, mindbodygreen.com. And this is by Amanda Christian, who is the founder of the radical approach to happiness called, and this is her book, Spiritual Sweat, A Workout for Your Soul. Ready to sweat some love? Amanda writes about self-love, out-of-the-box thinking, miracles, and what it means to be spiritual. Over on her site, you'll find a place to drench yourself in love, intention, and powerful thoughts. Result? a life beyond your wildest dreams. And here's the article she wrote. Did you ever feel like every area of your life is changing so fast and you're just standing in the middle of all of it, confused and directionless? Yep, I've been there. But through applying the quotes and tips below, I've been able to feel less anxiety and more peace about the uncertainty that comes along with those inevitable life changes. Number one, rejection is protection and redirection. I love that. I'm going to read that one again. It's by someone called Earl Purdy, P-U-R-D-Y. Rejection is protection and redirection. I find comfort knowing that there's always more than one way of looking at any situation. When we're rejected, we have a tendency to go straight for a fearful idea such as, I'm not good enough. But we can just as easily choose the opposite. We can choose to see the rejection as a positive thing. Now, some of you might not believe that, but I do, and I'll tell you for a simple analogy of why I bought into number one, and that's that my job for 25 years was in sales. And what I learned in the beginning of sales, and the reason why a lot of people wash out of sales, is because they simply can't take rejection. They take it personally. And they don't realize it's not personal, that what it's about is statistics, and that for every rejection you get, you are closer to that acceptance. And so even though a rejection is hard to swallow and upsetting and frustrating and makes us mad sometimes, the point is that if we've gotten a rejection, we have to believe that that's the way it was meant to be, and understand that every rejection brings us closer to an acceptance. And the way that worked in my business before is, you know, something like you could make 50 calls to get 10 appointments to make 3 sales. It was as simple as that, nothing personal. All those people that said no weren't rejecting me. They had their own agenda. They didn't have the money. They didn't want to budget the money. They didn't believe in the product. They didn't want to buy into the system. Maybe later. I'm too busy to think about it. But it was them, not me. I was doing the same thing every time. And every time I had a rejection, I was one step closer to an acceptance. And so rejection is a part of life. It just is. And so we need to be willing to take risk. Because again, if we've been given our life back and we choose to live our life on the sideline, and I did this for a long time, isolate, and I still do it from time to time when I'm feeling too vulnerable, I'll hide, you know, because I'm afraid if I take one more shot, I don't know, I'll fall off the roof or what'll happen to me, I don't know. I'll pop another vein, and I need a cut in the action and a break and to take myself out of the action. Well, that's self-soothing, that's self-protection, but it's not a way of life. A way of life is taking risk and understanding that rejection is as valid as validation and acceptance. It's like the peaks and the valleys of life. It's part of life. It's what happens. And you have to be willing to take those risks and understand that your risks aren't always going to come to the fruition that you would like them to, but it's one more closer to getting where you want to be. Because statistically, the rejections don't go on forever. If you're out there pitching the ball, or swinging the bat, let's say, you're going to hit a ball at some point. You just are. But you're going to swing and miss a lot of times. And the other thing that can console you on that point is that that is true for everybody. Nobody likes rejection. Everybody wants acceptance. So when rejection comes around, understand that everybody else is going through that too, and that we're not terminally unique. We're one of many going process that's very similar. Rejection, acceptance, peaks, valleys, perhaps in the definition of life, all of those adjectives would fall. Number two, life is simple. Everything happens for you, not to you. Everything happens at exactly the right moment, neither too soon nor too late. You don't have to like it. It's just easier if you do. Now, what that means to me is what I just read you about acceptance. That I have to believe that I don't have control over things, that things happen when they're supposed to, and I don't have to like it. But in order to find comfort and tap into my center or my serenity, I don't have to like it, but what I do need to do is accept it. And in the old days, I used to think that acceptance meant I had to like it. Not true. All acceptance means is I can hate it. I can go down kicking and screaming, but at the end of the day, if I want relief, I have to come to acceptance. And I might never like the thing I was upset about, but the minute I come to acceptance, I'm going to experience freedom from the bondage of myself and what I do to me emotionally, physically, and spiritually. So many times I want to blame it on somebody else, but it's the way I'm choosing to react to them. Tough pills to swallow, just like the ones the doctor throws at us sometimes. So they say you don't have to like it, just easier if you do. This is a major perceptual shift from playing the victim card to owning your personal power. When we start to use our power instead of giving it away, we're capable of miracles. Miracles are shifts in perception from fear to love. Getting over a painful experience is much like crossing monkey bars. You have to let go at some point in order to move forward. And that's a quote by C.S. Lewis. I really like that. I'm going to do that one more time. Getting over a painful experience is much like crossing monkey bars. You have to let go at some point in order to move forward. Whenever I know deep in my heart I need to do some forgiveness work, I start with willingness. Willingness to forgive someone or some situation is all it takes to create healing. Start with a simple mantra every morning and night, such as, I am willing to forgive. You can take it back a step and start with, I am willing to be willing to forgive. Number four, it's not about what I can accomplish, but what do I want to accomplish? Paradigm shift. When everything seemingly falls apart, it's more important than ever to get clear on the direction you want to go in as you move forward. Focus on how you want to feel in every area of your life, and then start doing activities that create those desired feelings. This is about you. What do you want to accomplish? I'm going to go back and look at that one again, too. It's not about what can I accomplish, but what do I want to accomplish? How many of us have gotten stuck in a pigeonhole in life because it was convenient, it was in front of us, it seemed like the logical thing to do, whether it's a relationship or a job, where we really didn't have that passion or that drive? We did it because it was there, and we didn't derive any real happiness from it. In fact, at points, we probably derived some real contempt for some of those things. But thinking about what we want to accomplish rather than what someone else wants us to do, the expectations someone else has of us, what we think we should do, what we've been modeled to believe is the right thing for us to do. We only have one life in the human existence as an individual. What do we want to do? And maybe if we focus our energy on that, again, it springs us forward because we're thinking about what we want to do. The very inherent thought of thinking of what we want to do is implying we're going to move forward and not stand still or go backward. It means we're planning, which means we're planting the seed of hope that we're going to be moving towards something in the future. So what do you want to accomplish? Number five, the object isn't to make art. It's to be in that wonderful state which makes art inevitable. And that's by Robert Henri. That's interesting. So let's think of birdhouses. The object isn't to make art or music or books. The object isn't to make art. It's to be in that wonderful state which makes art inevitable, which means that that radiates out of us. It means that was our choice at one time. And we might not have done it as gracefully or as beautifully or in a way that we think we consider it art, because we're thinking through our own perception and our own pair of glasses. But again, to other people, my birdhouses to me were like a five-year-old painting a birdhouse, because I'm not artistic in that way. They were not Picasso birdhouses. But even if people were being kind and they didn't even really like them and they re-gifted them or hid them away in a drawer somewhere, they were touched that I made something myself that took a lot of time and that I gave them a gift, a piece of me, and that radiated off of me. It wasn't necessarily the quality of the art. It was the quality of the art in that it was the time and the gift to someone else that didn't have anything to do with me, except that I was the conduit. Anytime I've moved homes, started new jobs, ended relationships, joined new activities, or traveled abroad, those feelings of anxiety and doubt seem to crop up. There's nothing spiritual or positive about hiding your feelings. Instead, it's very important to feel your feelings in a constructive way. For me, that's blogging, or in my case, blog talking, mountain biking, no way, and creating new yoga classes, i.e. Mikkel, my guest last Wednesday. The point is to feel your feelings and express yourself as you forgive, set new directions, and move forward. Another way to paraphrase our show title tonight, Spring Ahead. Number six, when you dance, your purpose is not to get to a certain place on the floor. It's to enjoy each step along the way. That's a quote by Wayne Dyer. Anytime I feel uncertain about life or want to try something new, my go-to reaction is to immediately try and control everything in an attempt to create some sense of order in my life. I want to see the whole path and know for certain that each decision is right before I take action. With this mentality, I spend years thinking about doing things, but never actually taking the steps necessary to create the life I dreamed of. Instead, just try taking one step and trust that when you need it, the next step will be revealed. In truth, there is no certainty. Now, I'm all over that. I'm the one who stood for a long time and denied. And then I was the one who I would call this part my not moving, not going backward, not going, when I was trying to do my old thing and faking it and not being completely honest about the fact that I didn't have the ability to do it anymore without going home and crying all night, falling asleep when I got home, throwing up, having migraines, having physical torture for going and trying to be someone I wasn't. So I get that. And I spent a lot of times dreaming about things. I want to write a book. I want to do this. I want to do that. A lot of dreams. And then when I almost lost my life, I realized, yo, talk about it or do it. You got your life back for a reason. If there's a way and you want it bad enough, you'll make it happen. And if it's meant to be, it will. And if it doesn't, it means because there's something better for you in store. Maybe not something that you want or you think you want, but something that a power greater than you knows is what you need, bridge to move you forward to some of those things you want. Number 7, expectation is the mother of all frustration. Antonio Banderas. Wow, I didn't even know he had quotes. That was mean. Love you. Love you, Tony. When we have tons of expectations for what should happen in the future and how people should act, we set ourselves up for judgment and disappointment. Speaking of judgment, number 8, the highest spiritual practice is self-observation without judgment. That's by Swami Kripalu. We tend to be our own worst critic. Sound familiar, audience? As you're making life changes, it's more important than ever to be gentle with yourself and not head into fear land by thinking about all the things you should have and could have done by now. You're exactly where you need to be. Remember, that doesn't mean that's where you need to stay. Number 9, nobody can give you wiser advice than yourself. Cicero. We often let our actions be directed by the opinions of others. We seek approval outside ourselves and as a result, lose touch of our own likes, dislikes, and desires. Each of us has our own internal guidance showing us the way through the confusion. Those buried passions and the strong desire to create something are coming from your inner guide. And number 10, the more scared we are of a work or calling, the more sure we can be that we have to do it. And that's by Stephen Pressfield. Finally, risk it, because in my opinion, and doing it is often riskier. The it in this case might be quitting the job, speaking your mind, finally walking away from an unhealthy relationship, starting a food blog, saying no, or going all in on your new business plan. You always have an inner guidance system that you can tap into at any moment through prayer, meditation, and listening. With that guidance, there's nothing to fear. One thing I know for sure is that we learn about ourselves through our new experiences. So whatever the ending and new beginning is for you right now, allow yourself to be swept away by the sweet freedom that comes with it. Growth is around the corner. Hope you enjoyed that and got something out of it. I know that I did. And again, I got that off of the website mindbodygreen.com. And the author was Amanda Christian this is an excerpt out of her book, Spiritual Sweat, A Workout for Your Soul. And it sounds like that might be worth checking out because it hits on an awful lot of points that are pretty close to where we are, right? Or where we've been or where we're going. So those are some clues on how to spring ahead, and we're going to come back and talk about some other ways that we spring ahead and some of the things that hold us back from springing ahead. And you're going to be sharing some of your strength, experience, and hope with me along those lines when you call in. First of all, when I say when you call in, I might tell you that if you'd like to call into the show, the number is 424-243-9540. Again, 424-243-9540. So if you have any comments about springing forward, whether it's about what kind of a clock you have, and I'll tell you a funny story in a minute about that, or how you've sprung forward or made plans to spring forward in your life after brain injury, or how you're standing still or going backwards, and what are the things going on in your mind and in your heart that are keeping you stuck or moving you backwards instead of allowing you to move forward. Because as Garfan would say, another one of my indie artists, we need to look at these things and make these decisions because we're not guaranteed tomorrow. That's what most of us in the audience have learned. We aren't guaranteed anything, and we're all living on borrowed time. With that in mind, it might make us more apt to spring ahead. That was Garfan, G-A-R-F-A-N. You can find them on Facebook.com/Garfan or at their website, www.garfan.com. Dale Hayes is the founder of Garfan, and that song is Borrowed Time. Dale's wife, Deb, suffered a brain aneurysm. Boy, now it's probably been almost 10 years ago. When we first met, it was 8 years ago, but I bet it's well over 9, creeping toward 10. I was on Medicaid at the time. They were talking about tweener jobs, and got on Medicare, and that's when I learned the hard, cruel truth reality of the word threshold, that according to a bureaucrat's clipboard, if you're not getting well at the pace they think you should by a certain date, they pull your treatment. God, I'm glad we all have managed care now. So happy for that. And so they tossed her at a young age into a nursing home with a lot of seniors, some with dementia and otherwise, and she never got the opportunity to stand still or spring forward. She has spent 10 years going backwards without treatment in an environment that ain't pretty and a quality of life that I wouldn't want to be living, I guess. And Dale has stayed married to her all this time, been faithful to her all this time in each one of the 3 CDs that he's come out with. This one, Family Affair, is the song that Borrowed Time came off of, I believe, and Dinner for One got released not long ago. Now, a number of Deb's blood family hasn't been to see her in years and years now. She left them a long time ago. Not because she literally left this world, but because they couldn't stand to see her, quote-unquote, that way. And so they quit. And so she's a potted plant in a nursing home. Sick, sad, bad, pathetic, human. Anyway, that's a system I'm not looking forward to, so I hope if I ever get in that situation that they just take me out back and get it taken care of really fast. That way it won't cost the taxpayers any money, and I won't have to live the rest of my life that way. She had a terrible thing not too long ago. I know that sounds harsh. It's just what sounds harsher to me is the situation wasn't bad enough. She had to have the brain injury the way she did and go through the hell she did, but the rest of her life, the hell that it's going to be. And she wound up getting to a point where she was clenching her fist, and because they don't, you know, take care of your hygiene all the time, her nails had gotten long, and she was cutting into her palm with her tightly clenched fist. And so the way they fixed that, you know, they could have maybe, I don't know, this is too logical and not medical enough. I would have thought maybe they could have, you know, routinely cut her fingers down real short. But they didn't. Instead, they went in and did surgery and cut the nerve in her hand. Flop. So she can't really do anything with it. She can't clench and hurt herself anymore. But she ain't going to be moving forward with that hand. And very sad, very sad. A lot of us are very blessed. We've walked through hell on earth, and some of us don't necessarily believe there's a hell. We believe we've been there. We believe there's a heaven, and that is a place where the spirits leave the human carrying case of the body behind, and the spirits move to the spiritual plane. I'm pretty sure that hell is right here on earth, and I think that's one of those situations, and it breaks my heart. I think what I'm going to do, I played this the other night, and you guys all got a kick out of it, but another new artist on my board, and I won't play the same song, maybe later, but I'll play a different one tonight than we've heard before. A new listener and fellow brain injury survivor that I got to meet in person, who's the second or third in 2 decades that I have met in person, Sweet Alan. Has done 2 CDs, and I got to meet him in person. Was it last week or the week before? You know how it is with memory. And got his music, and he's really thrilled. I should have called him tonight and told him we were going to be here, that we're playing his music on Brain Injury Radio, and he's so happy and thrilled about it. But he said if Brahms could do it, and some of you, you've only heard the couple of songs, but he's written quite a few different genres of songs. It's all kind of folk music, but, you know, he's done a little more rock, a little more bluesy, a little more dabbled into a couple of different genres. And I thought it was kind of funny when he said to me, if Brahms could do it, he could do it. And so he wrote a song called Little Lullaby. This is by Alan Kitto, K-I-T-T-O, and right now, unfortunately, his songs are not available to be purchased, but perhaps something will change in the future, and I'll be sure to let you know about that. In the meantime, I can give you his Facebook page, and you might want to friend him. Alan is a nice guy, or at least message him that you heard his music on Brain Injury Radio, and thank you so much for sharing with us. He's not going to be making the money. He might as well be making the kudos and getting the recognition. Alan Kitto with Little Lullaby.
Thank you.
That was Little Lullaby by Alan Kitto. I know, that is cute. He's also got that song we listened to the other night. He ends that one with a baby, and he starts the other one rolling with a doggy. So Alan's my kind of guy. He's a really sweet guy, and I'm glad to have him among our community. Of course, he's been in a community. I'm glad I'm in his community. Let me put it that way, and that he's joined our community when he can find the shows. But that was pretty cool. If Brahms could do it, he could do it. Now, is that kind of, what kind of an attitude is that? Talk about springing ahead for somebody with a brain injury whose life completely went upside down, took a long fall off of a crane, building a bridge that wasn't secure, almost landed impaled on rebar, face down in the water, nearly died, has a pretty good brain injury, and still, and wanted to pursue music, a passion of his, and does it about happy things, almost an innocence to it. I don't know where his anger went, but that's not where he channeled it. He channeled his music as a conduit of recovery, and whether we do it through anger or through love or through hope or whatever subject matter, the important thing is he did something. He didn't think about it. He did it, and now he's got two CDs, and they may never be in the top 40, but it was a dream. And it was a dream that with his determination, he didn't let a brain injury stop him. He made the plan. He wrote the music. He played the piano, the guitar, the harmonica, sings, and took the action to make a dream happen. And that's what we do. That's what we try to do and try to encourage other people to do around here. And it doesn't mean I call one of our members a rock star, and it's just because I have nicknames for everybody. But we're all rock stars, or none of us are rock stars. This one just happens to have that nickname. But, you know, whether it's Alan making his dream come true or, you know, me, I'm never going to be probably in the New York Times bestseller list, but I had wanted all my life to write a book. And I talked about it, thought about it, fantasized about it, waxed about it for 20 years, and then I did it. I made it happen. And it moved me forward. It sprung me forward. It sprung me forward to Brain Injury Radio. It sprung me forward to a sense of purpose that had been lacking in my life for a long time. It sprung me forward to a place where some positive things were filling the negative voids that have been in my life. And so when you have that dream and you take that action, it doesn't matter if it's perfect in your perception. It doesn't matter what a lot of the population thinks. What matters is you made a plan, you had a goal, you made a plan, you took the action, you completed the goal, and for that, you have a sense of accomplishment. And that feeds hope. Staying still and going backwards undermines our self-esteem and makes us small. So small, sometimes we disappear. And that's not a good place to be. The other night when Mikkel was on, I played Heroes. I really like Chris Dukes a lot. He's one of our indies in Albany. And some of you saw, and I'd encourage you to listen. I'm not going to play this, but again, if you go to YouTube and you just search Chris Dukes, C-H-R-I-S, space, D as in dog, U-K-E-S, space, Heroes, H-E-R-O-E-S, you'll find a video that goes with the song Heroes, and It's a tribute to our veterans, and an amazing song and an amazing video. And I called Chris the day that Mikel was going to be on Wednesday because I was just thinking about him. I play that song as an outro just about every time I have a veteran as a guest on my Wednesday night show. And it's just such a good song that I called Chris, and I thanked him again for letting me play his song, but mostly for making that song and making that video as a tribute to our veterans, and told him who my guest was going to be, and then sent Mikel the link to the video and told him that Chris and I both were grateful for his service and hoped that he could appreciate the video, and that that was a request, not a request, all the other thing, when you're going the other direction, a tribute, that let's call it that, a tribute that we were sending out to him, and he really enjoyed it. But I'm going to play a different song by Chris Dukes tonight, and I think I'm going to play the song Reasons, something we all have a lot of for just about everything we do, right?
And the more that it rolls, I lose more layers inside. Here comes a breakdown, that's just what I need. Another shot in the dark, hope the monster feeds. Is there an answer? Is there a way? Keep falling down. I have a tight to this moment, and I have a reason to make amends to hold a man. Another swing miss, another try to fail. I can only prep for my life to be all that I am. I can melt in rock to a deafening ring, and it pours to a head that knows nothing. Is there a way? I have a reason. Then hold tight to this moment. Then I have a I hold tight to the moment, and tell me your reasons. There are some reasons.
Testing, testing. Anyone out there hear me on the unmute button? Just want to make sure. Not sure I did. I went in and got some green tea and was making some noise, so I'm not sure if you guys are hearing me or not. Thank you so much. That was Chris Dukes, and you find him at chrisdukesband.com, or if you're on Facebook, /ChrisDukesBand. Once again, Chris Dukes Band goes at the end of that, and make sure to tell him hi. I see I have a caller. I'm going to pick that up in 1 minute because I have talked more than enough. But Les had been popping off and on the chat room earlier, and I'm not quite sure why he was doing that, but I know that he just hates to miss this when I'm identifying where is that Kim that is somewhere in Middle America. And I just didn't want him to feel deprived tonight. Sing along now. And with that, Les Paul, where you been?
Oh, boy, I've been all over the world today in Augusta, Georgia, outside of Augusta, Georgia. We had our brain injury walk today, and we had between 250 and 300 people, maybe even more than that there. And
wow.
I know you're and I wish you and some of the people on here could have been there today, because I know, like you said, it took 17 years for you to meet another brain injury survivor. Well, they were dropping like flies around me today. They were everywhere.
What
a
fantastic
reporter,
turnout.
It was. It was actually in Evans, Georgia, just outside of Augusta, Georgia, and it was quite amazing. Channel 26 in Augusta, Georgia interviewed me, and the one thing I said is, you know, you hear hidden, silent epidemic, and she said, yes, I hear that. I said, show them the brain injury survivors, if you can, to the reporter. And she interviewed me and did a story on me. And she said, well, I see that person in a wheelchair over there. They possibly have a brain injury, do they? I said, yes, you're right, that person does. I said, but how about the group over there? I don't know, because they're all standing and walking and talking and laughing and all kinds of things. I see a person with a helmet on. Do they have a brain injury? I said, yes, they do too. See, you're seeing the unhidden, the visible. Did you know there's hundreds of brain injury survivors standing around you? And her mouth went, are you serious? I would have never thought that. I said, you're walking around a lot of brain injury survivors, and some are standing beside you, behind you, all around you. And it floored her. And so it was a pretty good opportunity.
Wow.
to show the hidden epidemic become visible for a brief time. So it was fabulous. I was being interviewed in a station called News Channel 6, JBF in Augusta. They were interviewing some of the other members, and I purposely stood back, and I wasn't even trying to get interviewed when all of a sudden they said, Les Paul, come on, we need to speak to you. And I said, okay, I'll talk. But I wanted other people who are newer to come on and speak rather than me step up all the time. And so I watched a bunch of my buddies stand up and take their turn to do it and get in the limelight and share what their brain injury is like. And they even, Channel 6 and Augusta even did some stories before the walk. And I believe they raised over $5,000 as of last night. And
wow.
It was beautiful. So, and that was for the Brain Injury Association of Georgia, and They said a lot of people are going to get to go to Camp Hardgrove, which is a beautiful camp. I mean, it's gorgeous. I've been to it for meetings and things. I've never stayed for the camp. It's this beautiful place in the middle of nowhere with wilderness everywhere. You sleep in the building. It's more like camping out because it's, you swing over trees. You do all kinds of different things, and it's a beautiful TBI camp. Camp TBI is there, done there. They do sing-alongs. They do all kinds of things, and Jane Jackson and her husband are involved with that heavily. And Patty Goolsby, she and I, who lead the Augusta Brain Injury Support Group together, she actually works for Neuro Restorative there now when they changed names recently. And she and I co-facilitate the group together. It was pretty amazing today. You don't see that many brain injury survivors together that often. But they came out in droves, and they were, it was wonderful. And you know how they say a lot of times we can't communicate or we can't have a meeting where people are showing their love and peace and kindness and things? This was wonderful today. Brain injury survivors can get along with other people and other survivors. It sometimes might be hard because of communication, but it was wonderful today. I'm really tired right now because I got up at 7 a.m. to get ready to go over there today, and I was supposed to bring my karaoke system to use it as a PA system and do music with my computer, and I forgot to bring my computer out of the car when I had to walk a long ways with it, so I didn't use that today.
Oh, no. Well, it sounds like in spite of that, it was a wonderful turnout and a wonderful day. That's great.
It was really amazing. And I'm trying to say the name, but Walton Community Services, they're a big part of, I'm saying the wrong name. It's not called the Walton Foundation. If you go to Walton Foundation, I think it's .org. You'll see all the things that I'm always talking about, all these wonderful services. And there's a beautiful lady named Christy that I've always just loved her personality because she saw me, she says, "Hello, Les Paul." She's in a major accident. "I love you." And she said, "Give me a hug." And I gave her a hug. "That's not enough. Give me another hug."
Oh, looking for some
she's
sugar.
Just a beautiful, she's a beautiful, kind spirit, and she was in a very bad brain injury, in an accident, I meant. But she's one of those kind souls out there that are constantly working in the background. I met a lot of people that nobody ever gets to see how hard they're working in the brain injury community. I know people put the associations down sometimes. The Brain Injury Association of Georgia and South Carolina really work hard at this. And so I was very honored to be there today.
Well, and that's great. You got word out about Brain Injury Radio, too,
yeah.
And that's great when we have those opportunities because there's a lot of people, you know, they love coming to those events, obviously, 200 or 300 people showing up. But, you know, what do they do the rest of the year if they happen to be immobile or night blind and they can't make it to a live support group or they don't have availability in their area? You know, then this is a great place to find that peer support. I unmuted Jenny, too, but Jenny, if you wait just 1 second, I have an area code 402 I'm going to bring on. Area code 402, who's on the line?
Kim?
Alan?
Kim, how are you?
Yes. Alan, we just got done playing your little lullaby.
What did you think? I thought that would be good for all mothers. I thought that would be good for all mothers to listen to.
It's a good one for everybody to listen to. In fact, Jenny,
yes.
I want to introduce you to Jenny in a minute. She's on the line, and she wasn't here the very first night that you were on live with me last Saturday when we first played your music, but I'll tell you what, I played in the middle of the week on my own show on Wednesday night, and she got to hear you for the first time, and so Jenny's been wanting to meet you. Jenny, this is Alan, who
did Lullaby and the song I played you the other night that we'll play again later.
Hello, hi. Alan.
Hi, Jenny.
I was actually ready to fall asleep. I was really tired tonight. And Kim played your song. And just the baby at the end just absolutely gave me such joy and adrenaline rush that absolutely I woke right up.
My producer taped that about 10 years ago when his daughter was a baby, and then he kept it all those years, so I thought before and after that song, put it in there because it's very cute. And I always thought, well, Brahms wrote a lullaby, now it's my turn. So me and Brahms, we're rubbing elbows now.
Well, it was absolutely joy. It was so cute. It was adorable. I loved it. And your song was wonderful.
Well, I just want to say God bless you all because, you know, what we're all going through. And my marbles are still all mixed up, but I try to keep them straight, but it's still kind of hard. And
you call yours marbles. That's funny. I call mine duckies. I always talk about putting my duckies in a row.
I just wanted to make a suggestion. Elaine Curry, who's our brain injury, I forget, my words are always hard to get, leader, our leader at Brain Injury Group, she was given the death sentence, and then a Japanese guy came in there and had a new way to operate on people and saved her life. So she's been through a lot, too, and I hope you might contact her sometimes because she's got a beautiful, wonderful story. And then she got a PhD after her brain surgery. Isn't that a wonderful story?
Yes,
wow.
Absolutely.
Yes, it is.
It is. Absolutely. That's some determination. And tonight we were talking about, and I want to remind you in case you came on late, you know, this is the night that for those of us in daylight savings time, like you and me, tonight is the night we set our clocks to make them an hour later. And so the show tonight was called Spring Ahead, not just our clocks, but our life in recovery after brain injury. So we were talking about springing ahead, and I think that's a really good suggestion. And don't forget about your clocks tonight and your watches.
You know, the wonderful thing about brain injury is I get to meet all these wonderful people that I would never have met otherwise. So God bless you all. I just think,
amen. Amen to
that's
that.
For sure.
But not the same way. Before my brain injury, I probably could count true friends on maybe, you know, one foot or one hand. Now I can count my true friends. I have so many that I just absolutely love.
And I met Kim last week, and she's just a wonderful person. We all should thank our God and blessings for all the things she's doing for us.
That's true.
Aww, you're sweet to say. It was just really a pleasure to meet you and Kyra. I enjoyed the time that we spent together, and I hope that we'll get to do that real soon. I hope it's going to be warmer, though. Maybe we can go out to the park.
Well,
you know,
Kim,
when you say park, I don't know what you mean by that. Here in Lincoln, it's Pioneers, but I don't know what park you mean by in Omaha.
Hey, I'm like the Chamber of Commerce here in Omaha. I'll take you to places you've never been, honey.
There used to be the horse racing park, but that's no longer there, is it?
No, that's been gone a long time, and it broke my heart. I loved the horse track. I don't like the casinos at all because they give me sensory overload, but, boy, we had one of the nicest racetracks in the country back then when Exarban was going. And let's let them in on a secret that they probably don't know out there around the world, but our horse racetrack was called Exarban. And now where it used to be, there's a shopping plaza, just something else we needed another one of, right? And it's called Exarban Plaza. Well, we all got used to, you know, saying the word Exarban. What Exarban is Nebraska backwards.
Neat.
So, yeah, neato. We're so original. That's a little tip for you.
That is really Jenny? Neat. But I love your idea of the idea for your show tonight, which will bring forward not just in time, but also in our brain injury recovery. Because I'm there. I'm still working on my springing forward. You talk about tweeners. I'm a beginner.
You might be closer to a tweener than you know, but I know sometimes it feels like we're a tweener, even if we've been around a while.
Well, yesterday I had such anxiety because I wasn't being actively doing the things that I needed to do to get all my ducks in a row for the next day. All I did was sit and stress and think about it and let it mount and mount and mount. You know how us brain injury survivors do at times. And it was funny. When I finally got up, I got everything done. And then this morning, I didn't follow my usual routine, which is I get up and I go potty first, and then I take my dog out to go potty. Well, somebody knocked on my door and got me out of bed. And since I was already out of bed, I didn't even think about my usual routine. I went and took my dog out to go potty, and he ended up going potty, and I couldn't hold it, and so did I. So I went ahead and went to the store, no stress, no anxiety. I smiled at people. I talked to people because I figured the worst is behind me, no pun intended.
Oh, God. That's funny. Well, Alan, I got to tell you something, and I have another caller, and I'm going to bring him on in 1 second, but my guest on Wednesday, we were having this very serious interview, and all of a sudden we heard this crash go on around him, and we all just kept the interview going and acted like we didn't hear it, and then he had another crash behind him, and then he realized we all knew about it, and he said, "Oh, I'm so sorry, that was my dog." And so I asked him, his dog's name is Titan, and it made me think of you, so I couldn't resist, because then we were talking about dogs being therapeutic and how many of us have dogs and love them, and so I couldn't resist this.
You ready to go? Come on, Wigwack, let's go, boy. You ready to go? Come on, Wigwack, let's go, boy.
Used to have a family, paid union dues, working all day on construction crews. When I lost my tools, then the whistle blew. I can't say I'm staying, I'm only passing through. La la la, la 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 la, I'm only passing through. Leave my home and family, was on a lonely road. Signs kept telling me, far away place to go. Winds changed my destiny, how was I to know? Can't say I'm staying, I'm only passing through. La la la, la 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 la, I'm only passing through.
I followed the yellow brick road to the end of a rainbow. A woman standing there, living on the dole. She looked away and said, this road has a heavy toll. Now I can't say I'm saying, I'm only passing through. La la la. La 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 la. I'm only passing through. I've been wandering aimlessly in this wilderness. 15 years behind me, supposed to be my best. Need a light to see, guide me to my rest. I can't say I'm saying, I'm only passing through. La la la. La 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 la. I'm only passing through. I'm only passing through.
That was Alan Kitto with Only Passing Through. Alan, I muted your mic and I'm going to unmute it, but I was just wondering, do you have your computer on with the speakers on?
No, I don't.
Okay, it's gone right now, but there was a little bit of echo in the background, and so I mute the mics one at a time to try to locate it, and it was on your end for a minute, but no big deal. It happens all the time. Usually I don't have all the mics open at once, but Craig, welcome to Brain Injury Radio. How are you doing tonight?
Good. I just want to say to last, good. That sounds like you had a good day.
Oh, it was awesome. There were I'm looking for my pictures. I'm downloading some. The pictures I'm sending don't look nearly as big as it was, but it looked like a half-mile-long train of people. And the shirts are really cool. I'm trying to remember what they say. I'm trying to find a picture of them so I can tell you what they say. But the Brain Injury Association of Georgia really rocked today. It really did. And Patty Goolsby, she's I forget what her job title is. She directs it, but we work together on the roof, and it was awesome.
Yeah.
Well, excellent.
Yeah.
Cool, cool, cool. Yeah, I've had that's one thing I haven't done yet is a walk.
This is our fifth annual one.
I have to say, Les, I am actually so, so amazingly jealous, which is wrong for me to feel, but I still feel it because I dream of someday meeting that many, and or just a group of other brain injury survivors. I would love to.
Well, Jenny, you know, I'm going to tell you something. I thought of you and Kim most of all, but I thought of a lot of people that I'm saying, oh, God, I wish there was a way to beam them down like they do on Star Trek, or say, beam them down, Scotty, and boom, you're there. Because, I mean, you were, it's like they were. I'm just surrounded everywhere with brain injury survivors. Everywhere you turn your head, brain injury survivors. And when they interviewed me on Channel 26, and they did cut parts of it out because I noticed parts of it were missing, but I said, how many brain injury survivors do you see? And the reporter kind of looked like, I don't know. Because most of us, a few were in wheelchairs, a few... There was a person there with a helmet on because her injury is so severe she has to wear one. There were people in wheelchairs. There were a lot of people walking and talking as if there was nothing ever happened to them. She said, well, I see the one in the wheelchair. I see the one with the helmet on, but, you know, I've never thought of that. I said, it's called the silent hidden epidemic for a reason. It's everywhere, all around us, all the time. It never stops. It's constantly a war going on, whether it's a physical war where soldiers are battling, or if it's people who have a child that walk down the steps and fall off and hit their head, or a grandmother who could do something similar, or in a nursing home dies from a fall. She goes, my goodness, I didn't realize it's that severe. And I had statistics out there, and so we really did a lot of things to bring it alive today. And there were either two or three news channels were there, so they were doing different reports on it. While during the show, I actually saw them show the video interviewing me and several people today. So it was a really good thing.
Hey, and remember, Jennifer and Kim, remember when you guys are ready to start a group, that's what we specialize in, is starting groups. So much easier than you think.
Yes.
It'd be really easy if you guys both came here and showed us.
That's why I wrote a book.
Craig,
and I don't want to read the book. I want you to come.
I'm not ready to start anything because today I was just able to hold my head up, be able to go to the grocery store, smile, and talk to strangers and feel calm and confident and no anxiety and enjoy myself and even sat outside for over a half hour and smile and talk to people. So
very
that's
cool.
How I was able
something
to go
I'd like
so
to
far.
Say to you, Jenny, you already are a group leader. You do so much on the Internet to help people with brain injuries and all kinds of disabilities that you are a leader. You may not feel like it, and you might not be out in the limelight, but you're all over the Internet posting things all the time to help people. So I consider you a very high-end leader. I do you too, Kim, also.
You, well, you know, Alan has a group, too, in Lincoln. He has a support group an hour away. How many people go to your group, Alan?
It's about 10 to 15. And then there's another group that does bowling and such, and I've never been to that one. That's on the East Campus of University of Nebraska. I've never been to that one, though, but I wouldn't mind going someday.
And you're the most populated city, right, Kim?
Yeah. By far.
You have a killer
but
group
Lincoln
there, a million people? Yeah.
Well, what you guys were saying about what I do on the Internet is actually a little embarrassing at times because the only thing I know what to write about is about myself, and it makes me feel a little selfish at times because I don't know any other survivors. All I know is about me and what I'm experiencing, and that's what I write about. But sometimes I feel a little embarrassed about being it so self-centered.
Perfect.
Oh, no.
That's what a peer support person does, is talk
that
about
is
their journey.
You share your experience, strength, and hope.
Exactly.
That's what I read at the beginning of my Wednesday shows every night. The only story we're an expert on is our own, and other people identify and don't feel alone, and they're not isolated, and they don't think they're crazy when they can read about someone else's experience and mirror that experience, then they know that they're not alone, you know, that they're not alone.
Well,
so that's not a selfish thing to do. It's the right thing to do.
Absolutely.
It makes me sad when people comment that they relate or, oh, my gosh, it's like I'm speaking from what they're thinking. But because I wish that they didn't have to go through it too, but it also fills my heart because it lets me know that I'm on the right track and I'm not alone too.
That's right.
You're definitely on
That's
the right,
right
track.
Geez, I'll have to send her one out in a little while. We don't have a long time just because she said that, and I can't resist those segues. But Alan, last week these other guys know this particular artist, but for a long, long time he just had CDs and they weren't available for sale, and he had a little turnaround, and this man has a brain an inoperable brain tumor. So he's also one of us. He happens to be in Omaha, and you and that honey boy Turner that I played earlier are in Omaha, but I want you to hear a friend of mine here from Omaha, and I don't know if you're on the computer link or not, or if you just dialed in, but there's scrolling pictures, and one of the pictures I made a joke, it's a t-shirt in a blues restaurant bar where they play, and it says the blues started when Adam met Eve is when the blues started. And So this is John Cruise, C-R-E-W-S, John Cruise Blues, and get ready to do some jamming before we slow it down for the night. That was John Cruise Blues. Help him out. He's got a lot of mounting medical bills. You can listen to his music or buy it on www.reverbnation.com/JohnCruzBlues. That's John, JohnCruzBlues. Or his website will direct you there, www.johncruzblues.com. Or if you're a Facebook goer, like him and tell him you like his music, and that's obviously www.facebook.com/JohnCruzBlues. So that was By My Side by John Cruz, and we can resume our talk, but I have this quote, a guest I had on, a while back, Katz LeBlanc, had written a book called Tell Me This, Encouragement and Hope After Brain Injury, and it's a little book of quotes meant to kind of be an affirmation, I suppose. You can open it to any page, and it doesn't have to be read sequentially, and you just get a little message that might just be what your soul's needing to hear. And we were talking about being alone a minute ago, so this is, you are not alone. Even though we can be very isolated, there are others just like us all over the world. We are connected by our experiences and our vulnerability, our competitiveness and love of achievement, our injured brains and broken hearts. That's nice. And the one on the next page. Most people don't understand. We don't understand ourselves sometimes. This is challenging for us. Who are we now? Everyone talks of patience. Okay, resume. Resume. You may talk now, all unmuted guests, which I never do. But we were just talking about bringing forward. Craig, do you have to do your clock different?
No, I go forward too. I get an extra hour of sleep like everybody else. Or do we lose a sleep an hour?
We're losing it.
Oh, man.
Well, it's weird with me. Because I have no particular schedule, I have just kind of a go to sleep when I'm tired and get it, and then I wake up like 8 hours later. The change difference doesn't affect me. It just affects the sun, and since I have thermal insulated curtains, it really doesn't bother me any.
All right. We were talking about new beginnings and springing forward after our brain injury instead of staying still or going backwards. And I read you some stuff earlier, and I just got a couple things to sprinkle in our conversation to the end here. But I liked this. The chief beauty about time is that you cannot waste it in advance. The next year, the next day, the next hour are lying ready for you, as perfect, as unspoiled, as if you had never wasted or misapplied a single moment in all your life. You can turn over a new leaf every hour if you choose. Arnold Bennett. Think about it.
Kim?
Yes,
I would
Alan.
Like to say I really enjoyed that performer. Has he performed in Omaha? And have you seen him? He's really, really has a lot. Have you seen him perform yourself?
Oh, yes, I have. I met John originally about 20 years ago in a blues bar, and the minute I heard him, he was singing a song. I don't know if these guys will want to hear it or not, but he's got quite a story. His wife was murdered when their daughter was 3 years old, and John raised her on his own, and I just knew him long before any brain connection thing. I was eating in an Italian restaurant. I heard this guy start singing and the particular song he was singing, and I stopped talking to these girls. I was instantly mesmerized. I stood up. I put down my fork. I walked out.
of the restaurant part into the bar part, looked up on the stage, and I fell in love. And not like that, but I fell in love with his soul. And I've been hearing him play for, I was a regular listening to him play for several years. And then as people do, you know, I got married and I wasn't, that bar closed down and his group broke up, and about 15 years had gone by and we hadn't had any contact, but I always had his CD in my hand, just like you gave me yours. You know, 15 years later, I still had Cruiser's CD in my hand and loved that song. That very first song, you know, that I loved was on it. And it was a tribute he wrote to his wife who had passed. There's two of those, but this particular one is awesome.
In the Palm of His Hand?
Yeah.
How far along is Mr. Cruz in his brain tumor?
Well, it's not, there's hopeful, you know, there's always hope, but how long have I been playing him? Just over a year. About a year and a half ago, the VA, he was a veteran, Marine Corps, in Nam, and they found his brain tumor actually about 2 years ago, but the VA decided to watch and see and not spend any money to do a preemptive strike. And so by the time it was rechecked again, the tumor is on his brain stem, and it's too big and located in such a way that it is inoperable. And so it will grow. And he did go through, he was supposed to go through 28 radiation treatments. He made it through 25 and was so sick, he just said, if 25 didn't do it, 28 ain't going to do it. I'm done. And it was never meant to remove the brain tumor or take it away. It was meant to slow its growth. But he's going to have quite a journey ahead of him. But, yes, I have gone and heard him as recently as 2 weeks ago. He's pulled together a couple of the old guys from the band, and it's not a formal band. There's just a couple of them doing acoustic most of the time. Last time, their old guitar player was there, and so, yeah, I've gotten to give him a big hug and go hear his music, and we've reconnected after 15 years.
Wow. Good. God bless him. What a wonderful musician.
Yeah. He is, and if you guys don't mind, I'd play that song for Alan. He's never heard it before.
Please do.
Okay, well, this was a tribute to John Cruise's wife, and I think you're particularly going to see the significance of some of what he says. This is called Palm of Your Hand by John Cruise.
Of your hand, like a jewel
John Cruise Blues. Check him out at johncruiseblues.com. So sometime, Alan, when he's playing and it's kind of unpredictable, they don't do regular gigs, but I'll let you know if I find out ahead of time when he's playing early, and maybe you and Kyra could come up and listen with me and my husband, and I could introduce you to John.
Sounds like a deal. It's wonderful.
Yeah. Yeah.
The UMD Bulldogs were playing the UNO Mavericks in hockey this Friday, and I'm an alumni there, and I wouldn't have been able to find the bar that they're at, though, but I thought, boy, I sure would have liked to have been there. Kim could have told me how to get there.
Yeah, if you ever need to find your way around Omaha, just call me first. Like I said, I'm the regular Chamber of Commerce around here and somewhere in Middle America. So anyway, yeah, that's cool. So
I always get lost in Omaha.
Well, that's okay. I'll make sure you don't get lost too far. Get you pointed back the right direction. But that would be kind of like a mini peer support meeting if you and me got to meet John. So you would be bringing some of that support action up here to Omaha.
That's right.
That would be really cool, too.
I know. Get the two musicians together.
How old is John now?
Two musicians and a major groupie from way back.
Right, and both that have all three of us that have a brain injury of a different kind, a TBI, an acquired brain injury, and I don't know if a brain tumor is considered acquired or just extra lucky. I'm not sure. But one of each. So we're a little smorgasbord of three.
Three jamming, two jamming wacky duckies and one wacky ducky groupie.
Yeah.
Where are you from, Jen?
I'm from Pottsville, Pennsylvania, the poorest county in the poorest, or actually the poorest city in the poorest county in the state of Pennsylvania.
I've been to Pennsylvania. Very beautiful, very beautiful. I was at Gettysburg, and that's very beautiful part of Pennsylvania.
Well, I live in the city where the original Yuengling Brewery is.
Oh.
That's a beer. So did you know that?
It's a really old, 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 ancient city.
Are there any Quakers left in Pennsylvania?
I'm sure there are, but I don't know of any in the city. I mean, this is kind of like there's a lot of, like, really wacky people out there, so I have no idea.
Is that where Quaker Oats came from?
No, that was a brand name. But no, the Quakers, I think they live more out in the country where they do a lot of farming and things like that. I live in a major, major, little, tiny, really packed-in city, stacked on top of each other.
Well,
Are there any hippies left in Pennsylvania, or did they all move to California?
Well, I guess I'm kind of a hippie.
Yeah, me too. I think there might be a couple of us spread along the way to California.
I'm kind of like I've decided, you know, I'm kind of like a butterfly that's just emerged from my cocoon, and I'm just kind of going with the flow of wherever the air takes me, and I think it's kind of like a hippie.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah,
well,
that's something.
Alan, it's been 7 years come May that I had my traumatic brain injury, and I lost 42 years completely of my memories. So I basically was reborn and started from scratch.
How did you get your brain injury?
I call the Jenny bounce. I have an inoperable arterial venous malformation at the base of my skull, right by my spine. And I had maybe 2 to 3 years to live. And I was on so much drugs, and I was drinking because I didn't care at that time. I was a major alcoholic, and I abused my medication, which was very, very strong. They don't even use it anymore. And I took a second-story fall out of a window, 2.5 stories onto a cement sidewalk, and I broke my neck, 5 ribs, broke my pelvis in 3 places, broke a little trapdoor underneath my eye, ruptured my bladder, punctured my lung, and received a traumatic brain injury and was in a coma for 3 weeks at a Glasgow scale of 3. And all the swelling and bleeding in my brain, and they thought was going to kill me or leave me vegetative. If I even woke up, I would be kind of like semi-vegetative. When it reabsorbed over those 3 weeks, it took the arterial venous malformation with it, so it saved my life. So I absolutely have no regrets about anything that I have to struggle through and fight through, whether it's potty issues, you know, having an oops with my doggy outside, or putting things, you know, in the refrigerator that should have gone on my counter in my bedroom, you know, things, silly things like that. You know, I'm still learning.
Wow.
I have something funny to tell you.
I was a bridge worker, and I love my work. And then one day the scaffolding broke, and I fell all the way down. And of course, that's when I got my head injury. But you know, I was out of it for months. And then when I woke up, this one person said to me, "Did you jump off that bridge on purpose?" I said, "You know, I never thought of that." Isn't that
no
crazy?
Suicide attempt there. Yeah, that is crazy. Hey, you guys, we're winding down to just the last couple minutes, and Les wanted me to read what was on their T-shirts. He sent me a copy from that walk today that they had. It says, "Anywhere, anytime, anyone, strength in motion." And it's got a circle going around it, and then Brain Awareness 2014, and there's words in there, communication, challenges, survivor, friends, treatment, positive support, walk, dream, struggles, anywhere, and just kind of talks about the words we go through. And then it looks like they were well sponsored, Walton Foundation, Neuro Restorative, Brain Injury Association, Augusta Lions Club, Green Harvest Lawn Care. So that was a well-supported event. So good job. Good job having a good time. I'm glad that it all turned out really well as far as the numbers that were there and the great response that was there, and that you got the opportunity to get some press and plug Brain Injury Radio, too. So thank you, Les, and I'm going to start telling people good night because we just have less than 5 minutes left. So thank you for sending the pictures and letting us know. We like to know that these things can happen and how beneficial they are. So I'm glad that you let us know how your event went.
It was awesome. Thank you.
You're welcome. You're welcome. And Jenny, thank you for calling in. It's always good to hear you. I'm glad that you're back online. And thanks. And thanks for letting me know when my mic was muted.
You're always welcome.
All right. Always good to have you. And Alan, thank you for coming in tonight, and thank you again for your music. And I'm just really pleased that we got to meet each other, and I know we'll be friends.
Thank you, Kim. And out there, everybody, no, I did not jump. I fell because the scaffolding broke, and God saved me. So God bless everybody. You're not alone. Kim's a testament of that.
Thanks, Alan. Have a good rest of the weekend. And Craig, thank you for calling in tonight. Always good to hear from you as well.
Yeah, great show, and you have a great night, morning, whatever it is there.
Don't forget, everybody, set those clocks right now while you're thinking about it and you get off the phone, because then when you get up tomorrow, it's already done and you're in the right time. And I was saying earlier, I don't get the part about why they do it at 2 a.m., like we're all up at 2 a.m. to change our clock, right? So we either do it the night before or we hope we remember the next day so that we don't have a cluster Monday. So everybody who it applies to, remember to set your clocks when you quit listening to the show, assuming if you're doing it in the archive, you might be really jacked up by now. So anyway, that's for the live listeners. And I'd like to thank everybody for supporting Brain Injury Radio. Thank our sponsor, TBI Survivor Network. And I have on the flash, Lash Publishing's new Brain Injury Journey magazine that just came out for free. If you go to lapublishing.com, look at Brain Injury Journey, you can get the free magazine, online version of their magazine that just came out, and get some very useful articles. Thank you, everybody, who showed up here tonight to keep me company on Saturday night. I'm Kim Justice, your regular Wednesday host on Recovery Now, just doing a few special editions for Saturday night. So God bless y'all. Have a great rest of the weekend. And I'm going to close in my usual way with something I believe we all have, and that is a guardian angel. This is Guardian Angel by Leah West. Make sure to check her out at www.leahwest.com. And spring ahead, baby. Good night.
Little baby up in heaven says to God, do I really have to go? And God replies, yes, it's your time to leave. But don't you worry, you won't be there alone. You see, there's someone who's been waiting for you.
you soar higher than